College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by Temple head coach Fran Dunphy. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Geico. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico's been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. And also, send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And I was busy on the road last week visiting with different schools at different campuses. Here are my thoughts. I saw Harvard, Boston College, Providence, Temple, and LaSalle. We'll get obviously heavy into Temple with Fran Dunphy coming up. Thought LaSalle had better chemistry and role allocation than last season. Has a chance to be a little bit better defensively. Would not shock me to see B.J. Johnson lead the Atlantic 10 in scoring. My thoughts from Harvard and Boston College. Tommy Amaker's team, obviously the favorite in the Ivy League. Bryce Aiken, Chris Lewis, and also Seth Towns, Harvard's three sophomores from that recruiting class 2 years ago that were part of a top 25 class nationally, could go into any gym, any practice in college basketball and have an impact. I have no reservation in saying that. Boston College under Jim Christian should show strong improvement, different type of style, I think, than people might expect. They have five guys on the floor that can pass, dribble, and shoot, almost play in alignment similar to SMU last season, and two really good guards in Jerome Robinson and Kai Bowman, a duo that has a chance to be the ACC's best backcourt. And my thoughts on Providence, I thought Ed Cooley's club was bigger, stronger, and deeper than last season. But to me, evaluating conferences over the summer, Providence was obviously the fourth best team in the Big East. But I think after looking at Providence with my own two eyes last week, I think the Big East has three teams that are clearly above the rest in Seton Hall, Villanova, and Xavier. Villanova's vintage Villanova, again, since this new rendition of the Big East, came into form. They've won 71 conference games. 51 have been by double figures. Seton Hall has four starters back from a team that made the NCAA tournament and have played in back-to-back field of 68s and 16 and 17. And to me, Xavier, again, has a team that has a chance to be significantly deeper than last year, really good recruiting class, and also added a key fifth-year transfer on the transfer market in Kerem Cantor. Now, I mentioned I saw Temple. I liked what I saw from the Owls, but what does Fran Dunphy think about his bunch heading into 17-18? Is Temple on track to get back to the NCAA tournament? The aforementioned Temple head coach, the all-time winningest coach in Big Five history, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Fran Dunphy has had to endure a lot of pressure-filled situations throughout his legendary college coaching career, but this is the inaugural appearance on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And, Coach, you have been the head man at Temple for 11 seasons. What has it been like to be the guy who's followed John Chaney?
Well, from the start, it was a daunting, very challenging task. Interestingly enough, I just got off the phone with him about an hour ago talking about a lot of different things, not only about basketball, but about life. And I find him to be a great mentor and a great resource that I have to try to help me through every single day in coaching. He's just a good man, and to follow him was, again, has been a great challenge, daunting at times, but very rewarding.
How has your relationship with Coach Chaney changed since you took the Temple job versus the way it was when you were the head coach at Penn prior to getting the Temple?
Interesting. I you know, it's different, obviously, because now we're on the same team. But when I was coaching against him, which I did for 17 years, there was nothing but the utmost respect. And obviously, I was treating him with great respect, but he also treated everybody, not just me, with wonderful respect. And if there was anything anybody that he could do for anybody, he was going to do. So he's been a great friend and somebody that I have great faith and trust in. And I'm glad I can count him as a friend of mine.
You need, obviously, friends when you take on a job that obviously has great tradition, and you obviously want everybody in your corner. I'm curious, though, for you personally, what's the biggest thing you know about the Temple job now versus prior to taking the post?
You know, I think the university is almost different than what I thought it was going to be when I first got here. I just think it's has such a wonderful mission. And I knew it was important in Philadelphia, but I didn't know of its phenomenal importance in Philadelphia. So that probably has been as big a change as I've been, that I was not expecting to happen. I knew it was important, but I think it's just it's a critical piece, not only for the education, but the amount of people who work here and the actual community that Temple resides in, and how important to Philadelphia it all is. To include the hospital up the street and all of its great work as well.
Yeah. You know, I've talked to different coaches about transitioning from an academic-centric school to one where you can obviously have a more broad recruiting base. You know, that's something that a lot of coaches in college basketball had to deal with. What was it like for you recruiting Ivy League kids for so long and then really going into just, you know, in a situation where you could recruit everybody every year?
Well, I just think the competition is different. So when I was coaching at Penn, there were X amount of student athletes that could go to those eight schools, for example, and some others, obviously, who are very highly ranked, I guess, academically. But I've also been privy enough to help teach the class that I had the opportunity to teach at Penn. I'm also doing it at Temple. And it's within the honors program here at Temple. And I will tell you that there's nobody that has anything on these young people who I am in the classroom with now. They are very bright, very engaging, really want to get involved. And that's been a blast as well to actually be in the classroom with some of these young people who are walking the walks at Temple University. It's been terrific. So it's different. That maybe there were 25 schools that were our competition when I was coaching in the Ivy League, and now there are 250 schools that are your opposition when we're trying to recruit at Temple.
Temple head coach Fran Dunphy joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Now, when you took the Temple job for a number of seasons, you were the dominant team in the Atlantic 10, and then your school shifted conferences to the American Conference, which obviously has some remnants from the old Big East. What has been the biggest difference in coaching in the American Conference versus the Atlantic 10?
I think the programs are, there's a lot of similarities. I think the travel has been different. Obviously, we took a number of bus trips in the Atlantic 10. Now we only have one bus trip, and that would be Connecticut at this point. So the travel has been different. But the coaches are great. Our players are outstanding. Our programs are very, very good. Wonderful universities, just like everywhere else that are in the country. But we have a really good thing going, I think, for our conference. But the travel, I guess, if you're asking me one thing, the travel is probably the biggest change.
What are the biggest changes from a basketball perspective?
Yeah, I think just the differences in programs. You know, you're used to whatever we were doing in the Atlantic 10 for all of those years, even before I got here. And now you've got to change a little bit. they're bigger universities, let's say, with UCF and USF and Houston, for example. And now there were a number of private schools in the Atlantic 10, whether it's St. Joe's, LaSalle, Richmond, St. Bonaventure, that grouping. Now we have more probably bigger populations at many of the schools, and just different way of running businesses, you know. And I think that's just something you adjust to. And so it's, but I don't think there's a whole lot of other differences, to be honest with you.
Well, adjusting was something that, you know, you definitely had to do last season, which featured, you know, different highs, different lows. You lost your leader and starting point guard, Josh Brown, before the year to an Achilles injury. And then with a young and inexperienced team, you on back-to-back days beat Florida State and West Virginia, and you still finished, though, at 500 for the year. Have you ever had a season in all your years as a head coach with as many peaks and then valleys as you did a year ago?
Probably not, to be quite honest with you. It was, you know, we weren't sure who we were early. We got beat a few times, and then we had those two signature wins. And then we also had some pretty good success in Philadelphia with our non-conference Big Five schedule. You know, we had a chance to win games against three really good programs in St. Joe, LaSalle, and Penn. And then, you know, we played Villanova, and we weren't very good that evening. But we had a sense of, before we started the conference, that if you had said to me we would be 9-4, I'd say that's pretty good, given the teams that we had played. So I wasn't sure who we would be, and we didn't get off to a great start. We had a tough game against Cincinnati here at home, and then just couldn't do anything right against UCF early. And then just we battled like crazy. We were in a lot of games. We just couldn't finish games. Hopefully those freshmen are now sophomores. Those sophomores are now juniors. And we have a guy like Josh Brown back. And hopefully Obi will have a great season for us as well, and we'll be a little bit more consistent.
Well, you know, Josh logged 102 minutes last year, and you finished 16-16. 2 years ago, he logged 1,128 minutes, and you won the American Conference outright. With him back in the lineup and with the pieces you just mentioned back with another year of experience, what do you think are reasonable expectations for Temple heading into 17-18?
Well, I leave those expectations up to people like you who are such great prognosticators. So I want to just say we feel more comfortable certainly this year. I will tell you that having the security blanket of a Josh Brown coming off the court late in the game at a four-minute timeout, and you're having a conversation with him as to what he wants to do is a comfort level that we missed last year. So I'm grateful to have him back. We need to keep him healthy. I think he's close to being 100%. I don't know that he's there yet, but I think he's close. And we just got to monitor every single day with him and with some others, too. We want to make sure that we're all healthy as we get into the meat of our schedule. So coaching is different these days. You know, you're really paying attention to, not that you didn't before, but really paying attention to these guys' rest and hydration and all of those things that are now such buzzwords in our game.
You know, one of the things that you've really had, you know, a history of at Temple was, you know, just developing really good perimeter players. We saw it with guys obviously like Khalif Wyatt and Ramon Moore and then Quentin DeCosey. Quentin Rose is kind of cut from that same cloth and had a lot of good moments last year as a freshman. As you've watched his evolution since he got on campus, do you fully anticipate that this season he'll be mentioned with the guys that preceded him on the wing?
Well, I appreciate it, John. I'd like to think so, and that's certainly the hope. I thought he had a really good summer. He was the last guy not to make the team on the under-19 team in USA Basketball, or I think he was. Maybe some others were right there with him, but he almost made that team. But I think just the fact that he was there participating like he did, getting involved with those coaches that he was involved with out there that gave him some other ideas about how good a player he could be. I think that helped him, and I see a different Quentin Rose now, and I think he's going to have a great, great year for us this year. So we're excited by where he is as a player.
You know, the big thing I took away from practice last week in North Philadelphia was the depth of your freshman class. You do return a lot of proud veterans, but how unique is this freshman class compared to others that you've brought to Temple during your time there?
Yeah, I don't know that we've had four young men in any particular class, but this is four guys that I think every one of them brings something to the table, and they're all going to help us this year, I believe. So I'm really pleased with where they are and what they're doing and how they have prepared and their way of going about their business every single day, whether it's in the classroom or off on the court or in the community, whatever they're doing, they've been terrific. And so we're really excited about it, but I appreciate your thoughts on the depth. We're a little different now that I think that'll make the competition every day in practice is going to be different, which will certainly help us.
Temple head coach Fran Dunphy joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. As we look big picture here, Coach, for a second, the American Conference made a big addition in adding Wichita State, which is obviously a top 10 program over the last 5 years. To me, looking at your conference, the way that it's constructed is more similar to the first year of the conference when Louisville was in the league. If that obviously holds serve, now with Wichita State in tow, how many bids annually do you think the American can compete for in terms of the NCAA tournament?
Well, I appreciate your thoughts. And, you know, Wichita State has a terrific program. There's no question about it. They're going to be a great challenge to all of us to have them into our building or when we go there to play. I appreciate the analogy or the comparison to Louisville. I think it is similar in many, many ways. It's going to be, I would hope that we're a four bid, perhaps a five bid league early on here, that's what we can get this year. I think we have a number of really good teams that are going to play great basketball and again be playing some great challenging teams on their schedule. So if we can go to that four and five level, that would be great. And at some point, hopefully we can get half of our teams in that NCAA tournament that would hold us in great stead.
And, you know, one of the things, obviously, in terms of the league getting on stable footing moving forward and getting four or five teams in the NCAA tournament is going to be retaining the players that are currently in the programs. Mm-hmm. The NCAA released some information about 2 weeks ago that there was some consideration to letting transfers eventually play without sitting out. As somebody who's been doing this now close to 30 years, what's your reaction when you hear something like that?
Interesting in that there are some that I have talked to. I've tried to talk to a lot of people about this, and there are some who have said it's going to be a drastic change for us and it will be a free agent kind of market and there'll be a lot of things going on that maybe are not good for the game. And then there's another school of thought that would say to you, you know what, we've adjusted to so many things over the course of the last 20 to 30 years in our game, whether it's open like practices during the summer or shot clocks reducing, all of those things we've adjusted, and somehow we will adjust to this as well. If it is something that passes and we have no sitting out of transfer students, I do believe in the end that we will adjust if that is the case. I'm not sure yet what's best. I think, again, right away, off the top of my head, I say to myself, I don't know that this is the right thing for our game. But if people who are smarter and more well-versed than me say we need to try this for the good of our game, and I think that should be the mantra that we have, what's best for the game. If it goes to that, then I think we're going to have to adjust and we're going to have to really be good to one another. We can't be doing things that are going to be bad for the game and not be best for the student athlete, which is what we should always be looking at.
You know, Coach, I've always marveled at how you kind of balance being a coach with some of the other things you do on campus. You know, obviously you mentioned that you still teach at Temple during the fall semester, and I am brought back to a story that you told me once when I believe you were an assistant at LaSalle, and you were playing North Carolina, and Dean Smith came up to you and knew your name and shook your hand, and because of that, now before every game, you make sure you know all the assistant coaches on the opposing team's name if you embrace them before the game. How much did that one interaction with Dean Smith really ignite your philosophies and what you wanted to do when you were going to be a head coach with your own program?
You know, I think a lot, to be honest with you, John. I just thought it was pretty cool what he did. And obviously, he went to our press guy and he saw me with, I had a big two-bedroom, two-bath mustache back in the day. And so I just thought it was a neat thing to do. And I'm sure that I've screwed up somebody's name as I've introduced myself before games and said to have a great game out there. But it's just a good touch that I thought he showed to me. He humbled me a lot just by other conversations we had too. And he was just a remarkable, remarkable guy and a great teacher of the game and somebody that was a giant in our game. So if there's little things that we can take from somebody who was so influential in the game, I think we ought to do it. I just think it's a nice touch for people to know somebody else's name. And I think I'd like our guys to know people's names too when they meet other people on the street. And people who are great fans and supporters of them know their names and know what it is they do and know something about their family, and maybe there's something you could do for them at some point.
Well, you know, you mentioned obviously how Dean Smith was a giant. You, twice in the last decade, nearly slayed a couple of giants in the NCAA tournament. In 2011, you nearly beat San Diego State in overtime when they had Kawhi Leonard, and then in 2013, you nearly did the same to Indiana. How often do you think about finally breaking through and going on a run like you almost did twice here in the last 10 years?
You think about winning every game is what you think about, and that's the most important thing. I think you want to get your guys to not only have the games as your goal to win every game, but win every possession. Let's get a good shot at the basket. Let's be as tough a defensive team as we can be, and if each possession is important to you, never take any possessions off, then you get a much better chance of winning the game and then going as far as you can. First of all, you want to get to the NCAA tournament before you can advance in it. You got to get there, and it's not an easy task. So when you do, you want to make the most of it when you get there. So let's be prepared in everything that we do, but our preparations should start from day one, not from just when you get in the NCAA tournament.
To follow up, and this is my final thing, what are the biggest keys for this Temple team to have a chance to be in position to play in another one of those games here in 6 or 7 months?
Yeah, I think what we need to do is be as efficient as we can on the offensive end, get as many possessions as we can without turning it over, and then on the defensive end, be as solid as we can be, whatever it is we're going to choose to do. And I think really the best teams are the ones that are as solid as they can be in the half-court scoring area, and we certainly have to adopt that idea. And then just be ready to go. We got to stay healthy as well and be ready to go each and every game, taking it for what it is, what the challenges that's presenting us, and make sure that we're the best team and truly a team too. Any of us are not going to do it individually, but we're all going to do it together.
Well, Coach, appreciate a couple minutes. Know how busy you are. Look forward to covering your team throughout the course of the season. Best of luck kicking off practice officially on September the 29th.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it very much.
We'd like to thank Temple head coach Fran Dunphy for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, I want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Geico. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Poetic Genius 916. It's John, what are your expectations for West Virginia? Virginia this season? And for me, West Virginia is clearly the second best team in the Big 12. Anytime you have returning guards, you have a chance to be really, really good. There's some questions inside, but I look at the guards. Carter, Miles, a Hall of Fame coach, and Bob Huggins on the sideline. I think West Virginia clearly the second-best team in the Big 12 behind Kansas. Our next question comes from Big Reese, and it's, give me your prediction on the bragging rights game this year between Illinois and Missouri. I'm supposed to see both of these teams practice in October. Illinois, to me, is a little bit of a mystery under Brad Underwood this year because they obviously had some big personnel losses, obviously, with Malcolm Hill. I would give the edge to Missouri just because of Michael Porter Jr., but I think people need to understand just how darn good Brad Underwood has been as a Division I head coach in college. In conference play, okay, at Stephen F. Austin, he was 53-1. Last year at Oklahoma State, the Cowboys, after starting 0-6 in the Big 12, get to the NCAA tournament. It would not shock me to see Illinois do more with less. Now that we've completed your social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast, it's time for some Nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, a Husky December. How about UConn's three-game stretch from December 21st to December 30th? The Huskies are at Arizona, then they will play at Auburn less than 48 hours later. And then how does UConn open the American Conference in 17-18? Wichita State at home. That's a new level of brutality. Nugget number two, fight on. Two consistent themes that I've heard so far out of USC. Elijah Stewart has been the team's best player in the offseason. The most improved player, though, in the Trojans program, sophomore guard Jonah Matthews. Right now on my calendar, I should see USC live in mid-October. Nugget number three, things getting a little hokey. Virginia Tech quietly has lost two starters in the last couple of months. Kadeem C transferring from the Hokies program last weekend. I reported on Saturday that he will attend Tallahassee Community College this season, then have 2 years of eligibility remaining. And obviously, Ty Outlaw lost for the year with a torn ACL. Virginia Tech doesn't have what it had, but it still has enough, although Buzz Williams' squad can't suffer any more personnel defections. Nugget number four, Nebraska's Isaac Copeland is a newcomer to watch in the Big Ten. Copeland had a waiver approved by the NCAA last week and will be eligible for the entire 17-18 season. This is big for Tim Miles, who obviously is hoping to stem the tide after losing a couple of transfers last year, Michael Jacobson and Ed Morrow, two front court players. And also keep an eye on Thomas Allen, Nebraska's freshman guard, big-time shooter, hit 11 three-point shots during a high school game last season. Nugget number five, I'm supposed to be back on the road again, firming up some times for some practice this week, so we will have all those news and notes covered next week, as we will continue to do throughout the duration of the 17-18 preseason here on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'd like to thank Temple head coach Fran Dunphy for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.